Hey, everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Welcome back in. Hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, presented by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Got a loaded hour coming up here on Robbie and Rex Road. Rick Stockstill, MTSU head coach, will join us at 7:30. And we'll be joined by Josh Reynolds, Titans wide receiver, coming up a little bit later in the hour as well. So looking forward to that. Got a lot to get to this hour coming up on the program.
Busy.
Going to be a busy hour. So, Joe, I was speaking of busy. Lots of discussion yesterday between you and Jared Stillman on the Jared versus Joe segment at 5 o'clock on Stillman & Company. And one of the things that you got into was Vanderbilt. And Caroline Fenton threw out the question about the coaching staff and Clark Lee and what they bring to the table. And obviously, it's been a tough week for Vanderbilt, losing to ETSU, a lot of negativity around the program after that loss. Caroline asking the question to both of you, do you still believe in the message that Clark Lee has and ultimately what he's doing to make this program successful? And that led to a discussion of the investment level of the program. We've talked about the Vandy United Fund here on this show, $300 million being committed to athletic facilities. And that led to a heated discussion between you and Jared Stillman. So kind of set up for our listeners exactly what the discussion was about and the position that you take on the $300 million project that Vanderbilt has already thrown out there publicly.
See, the problem is now you're counting on Captain Old Brain here to remember the exact question that Caroline asked. But basically, yeah, it was about Vanderbilt and investment. And see, so Jared was not the only person I argued about this with yesterday. I argued with another reporter. I guess I won't name the reporter since, you know, he may not realize that, you know, that I didn't clear it with him. But we also got back and forth on this too. And one, I think, big mistake people make that Jared and the other person made is no one is saying Vanderbilt is catching up with anyone in the SEC, okay? No one is saying that. The point is, though, can you make it so that it's not an embarrassment? I mean, really, and I'll say this for the 10 millionth time, if you go by investment over the past, I mean, the arms race is basically about 30 years old, I would say. It really started to pick up in the 90s. My editor, Mitch Light, knows Vanderbilt, you know, football as well as anyone. And he was talking about how, like, Jerry DiNardo, who was a coach in the early 90s, was like, I mean, there was, like, they had a football building. Like, in the early 90s, like, they had a football building. Everybody had a football building. Whatever.
Sure.
It wasn't really a thing. I mean, at that point, if you go back to 30 years, you know, the stadium even was only about 10 years out from its last big, you know, renovation. So, I mean, so it's about 30 years that it's been an arms race. But in that time, the amount of money spent and the intensity of that race as it's picked up is just, I mean, obviously, if you pay attention to SEC football, you can go out and find all the pictures and you can find the price tags. It's ridiculous, really. I mean, it's just a fantasy world.
Astronomical.
It's a fantasy world, you know, really. But that's the reality of big-time college football. And the reality for Vanderbilt for a long time, especially I'd say in the last like 10, 15 years. I mean, you have recruits in for a weekend and you don't want them to see your stuff. You know, you don't want them to have that as a comparison to these other places. Vanderbilt is not proposing to try to catch anyone. They're not going to. But if you get to the point where you have respectable facilities that people actually want to go into and you can bring recruits and say, look at this, this is where your home's going to be. I don't think Jared and other people understand what a massive difference that is from nothing. That was my point. He's like $300 million. I'm not saying that that's it for them. They have to keep going. The stadium has to be on the list. And they've done a little bit, but they haven't done much. That's got to be on the list. Fan experience, all that stuff is also in the realm of necessity. But, man, $300 million is going to be a huge difference. A huge difference. And, again,
I agree.
It's just not being embarrassing.
I agree it's going to be a huge difference. I don't buy that Vanderbilt's not saying that they're trying to catch people. Because when you throw out phrases like, this is going to be the best facility in the country, and this is going to be the best program in the country, to me that tells me you're trying to catch people.
Did they say best? I heard best program.
Oh, they've said best facilities.
Yeah.
Well, I realize that everyone says that about what they're building.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, sometimes, everybody says that about their program. We want to be the best program in America. So, I get it. A lot of that is just coach speak, AD speak, whatever you want to call it. But when you say that, Vanderbilt fans, I think, have a right to be upset if that's not what ends up happening.
Well, yeah. I mean, but again, like, just go by price tag. I mean, you can't say that. I mean, yeah, you're right. It's whatever speak.
Right.
Admin speak, coach speak. But, I mean, it's not. They're not going to have the same stuff like Alabama and Tennessee.
Just fountains everywhere.
Yeah. But again, it's going to be a huge difference. It
Lazy
is.
Rivers.
Right. And who are they, right? Who are they competing with? I mean, yeah, they're competing with SEC teams, Tennessee for certain players, but they're competing with like the academic schools that can get the kids who are top football players, but also are like, I really care about getting a degree from Stanford, from Northwestern, from Wake Forest, from Duke, from Vanderbilt. Now you have a much better chance with kids like that if you have facilities that are good. And they will. They will be good facilities. Good facilities at Vanderbilt versus Vanderbilt before is, I mean, night and day does not do justice to that. So that's my point. Also arguing yesterday on Vanderbilt, just look, there's a lot of obviously anger toward Clark Lee and doubt about Clark Lee, and
yep.
I guess to Jared's credit, he dismissed that. It's one game. This story, if Vanderbilt fans have read Pete Sampson's story going behind the scenes, it's really interesting, and it's kind of like what we were talking about yesterday. If you lose, like your personality is bad. And if you win, you know, you can find the good things. Oh, such a smart guy, and he's so cerebral and just has that
poise.
New age touch, poise.
Yeah.
And if you lose, it's like, oh, you know, yell at somebody, you know. So this story, there's like a lot of stuff in this about, like, you know, let's practice shaking hands with ETSU after the game. You know, let's practice singing the fight song. Here's the warm-ups we're going to wear. Like, very minute details, which is very Tim Corbin-ish, right?
Yes.
But so Corbin, it's brilliant. It's genius. It's brilliant. Oh, look at that. But now with Clark Lee, some people are going to read this and say, oh, my, would you put a whistle around your neck and start screaming at somebody? Throw a football off somebody's head. You know, what are you doing? Talk about beating ETSU's butt and how you have to take them seriously, blah, blah, blah. So it's interesting just how things will be perceived. But it is a fascinating story, including Ken Seals saying that the first time he met Clark Lee, Clark Lee's like, well, I know you were late to a practice last year. You don't look people in the eye. You know, you need to, like, he like dressed him down on all this stuff. And Seals was like, whoa, I didn't expect that, to paraphrase. Really fascinating stuff. And again, like it's one awful game for an awful team, but and look, the jury's out on Clark Lee, certainly in this whole program, but I don't know how anybody could look at what Vanderbilt's been and think this won't matter. And I don't know how Vanderbilt has won a game in the SEC for so long. A game, if you go by investment, it shouldn't happen.
Well, and I think the point is, this is $300 million investment. It's a difference, right? Like, it makes a difference. Now, is it going to put them in the upper echelon of the SEC East? No. And I don't know that.
No one's arguing
that. I don't know with even with truth serum if anybody really believes that. Like, if it would take so much more than that And we understand that. I think part of this question is the word success. Like, what does success mean? What does success mean to a Vanderbilt fan? Like, to me, success for Vanderbilt is if you can consistently reach six wins and get to a bowl, that's pretty successful. Now, if you told that to a Tennessee fan, they would laugh at you. But that's what it is. I mean, that's just the difference in perspective there. So, you know, the word success, I think, means different things to different people. But when you ask me, like, is this investment level that we are going to see from Vanderbilt going to make a difference in that front to get them to a team where they should win six games on a consistent basis and be a bowl team year after year? Yes, I think it will. I think it should. Now, we'll see if it ends up actually happening. And to Jared's point, I understand the skepticism of, hey, let me see the shovel in the ground, because we talked about that a lot too. But also, like, how insane would Vanderbilt have to be at this point to announce what they've announced and make the big deal of it that they've made to not do anything at this point? Like, they're going to do this.
They have plans. They have the $200 that was already raised months ago. This is the problem with Jared and getting crushed in arguments, is that he brings in things that are so irrelevant. So he brought in David Williams talking about the stadium. Okay, that was his example. Now, David Williams talking about the stadium, and now this is, so he's equating David Williams in 2016 came to us at the Tennessean with basically what he wanted to be for the stadium, because he wanted to put public pressure on the administration that was completely ignoring him. There was no plan, there was no money raised, it became a story because David Williams wanted it to be a story because he was frustrated with Nick Zeppos and how they were just completely ignoring what they wanted to do. So Jared equated that to, we have $200 million raised, we're raising the next $100 million, and here also plans are coming and we're building. Dude, it's stupid. I'm sorry, Jared, you got crushed, because this is the thing you can't do in these arguments with me. If you want to try to step into the ring, bring some real stuff, not crap like you brought yesterday.
We'll continue this discussion when we come back. Got more of your thoughts to get to on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game.
One bitter, why did you flip me off as I got on the Zoom? That's what I want to know. I'm just coming here as a friend. This is all in fun.
Well, I just, you know, just for fun. It did make me feel better, though. If that makes you feel any better.
Good, I'm glad. It does.
That was Jared and Joe yesterday on with Stillman and Company. Caroline Fenton, God bless her, the moderator, as you two go back and forth at each other. That's got to be a pretty tough job for Caroline at that point.
Wow. But, I mean, 4 hours every day.
Well,
especially when
it's a lot of responsibility.
When Jared refuses to be wrong.
That's right.
Yeah.
Some responsibility comes with that. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. John from Nashville texting in, I like Stillman, but he's off his rocker. $300 million will certainly aid in Vandy not being blown out every week. John on Team Joe.
Yeah, I mean, look, $300 million, honestly, I don't remember what you're talking about. I'm sure someone said it. Oh, the best facility, the best everything.
No, it's been said.
But, you know, I mean, and I suppose, I guess when you, it's almost like NFL contracts, right? Like, you get whoever's up, you get the best deal. Whoever's up, now you're number one, but you know you're not going to be number one for long. I suppose, you know, there could be some unique things about this facility.
Sure.
Where you say no one else has, you know, whatever, like peanut shucker. I mean, what, you know, who knows? I mean, what else can they come up with? I have no idea, you know? An olive bar. I mean, I don't know.
That'd be something.
But as far as just overall cost and luxury, it's not going to, you know, it's not going to be with these places that are just outrageous. And again, the whole thing is, if you kind of step back, I mean, it's kind of grotesque. You know? I mean, it helps kind of explain like why like name, image, likeness and stuff had to happen, because it's like, like the LSU guys, really? Like they all have to have like their own home theater in the locker room? Is that really necessary? Really? So, but to think that it's not going to matter, I just think that's misunderstanding what it has been.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Mike from Nashville texting in, says Rex Road for the W. I got another texter that says, tell Joe Jared is about as annoying sometimes as the 9-8 record in the NFL. This is coming from Matthew.
See, the problem also with destroying Jared in arguments, which is almost too easy, is then you get people who, you know, go overboard with all the meanness and stuff. And, you know, Jared's a friend, very talented guy, does a great show. I love Jared, and I love crushing him easily in arguments, too. We can both things can be true.
That is true. Christopher goes on Periscope, says, to answer the Vandy question, yes and no. Franklin was able to succeed with lack of amenities. However, in today's football, money is a necessary evil to help sell your program via new facilities, etc. The problem with Vandy is more so identity and recruiting to that identity. They're not going to be able to recruit like Alabama or even Tennessee, for that matter.
Well, and they no one thinks they will. Now, again, what is success? I think you're right. I think six wins. I mean, success is Pat Fitzgerald. You want Clark Lee to be Pat Fitzgerald, the guy who played for your program, and Pat Fitzgerald, Michigan tried to get him. Other programs have tried to get him. He stayed with his alma mater. So let's go through Pat Fitzgerald. You know, 6-6, 9-4, 8-5, 7-6, 6-7. You build up to a 10-3 year. 5-7, 5-7. It really hasn't been as consistent as I would think. Then another 10-3 year, 7-6, 10-3, 9-5, 3-9, 7-2. I mean, it's a little bit all over the map, but it averages out to about 6-7 wins. You can count on them being competitive most years. They don't recruit like Ohio State Penn State and those schools. They don't, and they won't. But they get enough of the kids who are – and again, it's not just recruiting either. It's also, do you develop – players so that you have fourth and fifth year players who are better than their recruiting profile. That's a huge part of this. That's got to be a huge part of this. But no, they will never recruit at that level, but you can recruit at a level to have that kind of success at Vanderbilt if you have competent facilities, which they're about to have.
Trent and Dixon texting in on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So do you think upgrading the Lions and the Jets stadium will help them get some wins? It's also the NFL.
No, the NFL, you have a draft. The NFL is built for parity. College football is not built for parity.
It is not. Ron on the text line, you can sell a bee honey if it looks good. So I agree with you, Joe. Vandy needs a new stadium or at least more work done around the campus. So until then, Vandy won't get the 5 or 4-star recruits.
Again, they're never going to, I don't think, in our lifetime, you know, load up on 4 and 5-star recruits.
No.
Here and there, you know, I think you, again, you have some of those types of recruits who prioritize education because they're elite students too. Though, you know, those prospects exist. There's not a huge pool of them, but we have seen Stanford in recent years be a national power in football. There's a lot of differences between the two schools' profiles, but I mean, there are also similarities. I think Northwestern is a better comp for Vanderbilt. Northwestern, by the way, also has a $270 million, you know, football facility on Lake Michigan.
Looks pretty sweet.
Yeah. So they obviously have prioritized facilities and that. So that's one building that's almost the entirety of Vanderbilt's investment. But still, it matters. And they, even without that, they've recruited. And by the way, on James Franklin, that's a good point. But let's not forget, James Franklin got an indoor built here. So he recognized the problem. I think he caught a little bit of lightning in the bottle with that time period in the SEC and the SEC East, a little bit.
Yes.
But he did a great job. He recruited like crazy, and he got an indoor built. And if he would have stayed here, some of these things that are happening now would have happened earlier.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Joey from Gallatin texting in. I think Jared misunderstood Caroline's point. The money invested will help improve the program and facilities, but won't fix all their problems. Taking steps forward is considered success, as opposed to staying in the same place.
Well, yeah. I mean, again, but the question was posed is like, will it help them? Like, will it matter? And I just, the argument that it won't, and again, comparing this to like a desperate attempt to try to get something done versus here's $200 million. That's raised, and here's where the buildings are going. I mean, okay, fine. Shovel in the ground, fine. I get that sentiment, but you kind of at some point need to kind of – it's not reading tea leaves. It's like reading press releases.
Yeah.
Can you read the press release? Because it tells you exactly what's going to happen. And that's different than
ideas.
An AD hoping something might happen and I'll go to the media. Come on.
Two very different things on that front. But a passionate discussion nonetheless. Everybody enjoyed that discussion yesterday that I talked to. That's the first thing people in our fantasy football league talked about when I showed up.
Was, oh, yeah?
Did you hear Joe and Jared? I was like, oh, yeah. I heard them.
Well, all right. Well, hey, people seem to should I take it easy on them next week?
No.
I'm almost starting to feel guilty a little bit.
No. I don't think you are.
See, Caroline's in a tough spot because, like, she can't declare me the winner like six straight weeks, you know? Like, you can't do it.
Probably not. We'll see what happens, though.
He'll cry so much.
When we come back, we'll be joined by MTSU head football coach Rick Stockstill in action this week against Virginia Tech. So looking forward to that conversation. Right now, though, got to tell you about my friends at FanDuel Sportsbook. And FanDuel Sportsbook is celebrating with 40-1 odds on any Week 1 game with the NFL being back, Week 1 beginning tonight. And who doesn't want to win $200 on a $5 bet? New customers get 41 odds when you place your first wager. FanDuel is sports betting made simple, and the app is so easy to use. Tampa Bay in action tonight against Dallas. Tampa Bay -8.5 is the line right now. I'm going with the Bucks on that line, but you take it any way you want to take it. Offers like this are just one of the many reasons I love betting the NFL on FanDuel. It's the number one rated sportsbook app in America. It's safe and secure, easy to use, and they get you your money as quickly as 24 hours. So just sign up with promo code ROB and you can win $200 on a $5 bet. That promo code is ROB exclusively on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. New users only. A $10 first deposit required. Must wager in designated offer market. A max bonus of $200. Bonus for Tennessee users fulfilled in site credit within 72 hours. Tennessee site credit expires 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, now with two locations in Murfreesboro. Visit our brand new Murfreesboro location at 2019 Memorial Boulevard. Volunteer State Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And we are pleased to be joined on our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, by MTSU head football coach Rick Stockstill. Rick, what's going on, man? How we doing?
I'm great, man. How you guys doing?
We're doing great. Appreciate you taking time to join us this morning. So, Rick, a good showing for your guys in week one, a 50-15 win against Monmouth. What did you learn about your group in your week one win?
Well, I think there's always, in the first game, there's so many unknowns that you have against about the team you're getting ready to play because you don't know the changes that they made schematically or with their athletes, who they brought in and that sort of thing. And then just, you know, you can simulate the game-like situations as much as you want in practice, but you know, you can't get the full feel for it, you know, until you actually play a game. And I liked how we played. You know, obviously we made some, you know, mistakes that we got to get corrected this week, some typical first game mistakes that you, you know, have a tendency to make. But overall, I was really pleased. I thought we, you know, started out a little slow, you know, with the first quarter, but I think that was not making excuses or anything, but I think it's almost a little bit to be expected as you adjust to the speed of the game and everything. So, but we played really good. We were very efficient offensively. Defensively, we did a nice job keeping the ball in front of us. You know, we didn't give up a bunch of big plays. We tackled well for the first game, and I thought we were really sound in the kicking game.
So, Bailey Hockman, 17 for 22, 215 and three touchdowns, really efficient. I know you've been excited about him, Rick. First of all, just what did you think of the performance, and did you learn anything about him in this first performance in the game?
Yeah, I think the big thing, the thing that you're most impressed with is he protected the ball. And, you know, we struggled a little bit, especially the early part of camp. You know, he hit a spell where, you know, he was turning it over, you know, once or twice a day. And I just told him to, you know, to let the game come to him, play within the system and everything, and he cannot win the game by himself, so don't try to. And so I thought he played really smart. You know, he avoided, you know, a couple sacks by throwing the ball away, didn't put the ball in harm's way, made some really nice throws. His receivers made really good plays for him as well. So he's just got to continue to, you know, to as he understands, you know, the offense better. And like I said, he's only been here for, you know, spring practice and then just a little bit of camp that we've had. So I expect him to get better, you know, each week as the season goes along.
MTSU football coach Rick Stockstill on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And, Rick, you guys traveling to Blacksburg to take on Virginia Tech coming up on Saturday at 1 o'clock. You can check that game out here on 102.5 The Game. What's this week like? What's kind of the vibe you've gotten from your players in terms of the excitement level to go and take on an opponent like Virginia Tech, who obviously had a big win in week one as well?
Yeah, you know, we're excited about it. And, you know, we've played these games, you know, a million times now. So we're not going to go walk in that stadium in awe or intimidated or anything like that. So excited about it. This is the first time, you know, these guys have played in front of a big crowd like we're going to play in front of in a couple years, you know, because we didn't have it last year. And so we're excited about that. And going to play a good football team. You know, they're ranked in the top 20 now and understand the challenge, but also looking forward to the opportunity that's in front of us.
Yeah, obviously that, you know, you're talking about a Virginia Tech defense taking on, you know, what some people think is the number one pick in the next NFL draft in Sam Howell. I watched a lot of that game. I thought they looked like some Virginia Tech defenses we've seen, you know, over the years there. What about that particular matchup after a nice, efficient day for your offense? What makes them so good?
I think the big thing is, and you're right about the old school, you know, Virginia Tech defense. And to me, it's almost like an SEC football team, how physical they are on defense and then what they try to do to you on offense. And, you know, it's going to be a physical game, and they're going to try to, you know, use their size advantage like most schools do when we play those guys, you know, and try to beat us up physically with the run game. But they're very fast on defense. Their front seven is very dynamic. Put a lot of pressure on the quarterback, you know, at North Carolina, and try to do the same thing with us. So we're expecting a lot of pressure. Their front seven is really special. They're big, they're physical, they can run, they put pressure on the quarterback. You know, and they didn't give up big plays, you know, to North Carolina, which, like you said, the quarterback is supposed to be one of the best in the country. And, you know, they pretty much shut him down.
Well, Rick, what about the other side of the ball for you guys defensively? Obviously, you got to get a lot of players in there and get some game action against Monmouth this past week. What do you make of the depth that you guys have been able to develop on the defensive side of the ball?
Yeah, I mean, I'm happy where we are defensively. You know, we had a couple guys out, and we still have a couple guys out for this week that hopefully we'll get back next week. But I liked how we played defensively. Like I said, we tackled well for the first game. We didn't give up. We gave one up, gave one big play up where they hit a fake bubble and go on us, you know, for a touchdown. They got over the top of us. So we did a lot better job of keeping the ball in front of us than we did last year. You know, the big concern is going into this game is because of how physical they are, we've got to be really good on first down defense to try to keep them in third and longer down and distance situations, because if they can have a lot of success on first down and make third down, third and two, third and three, it's going to be hard for us, you know, to get off the field. So we got to do a really good job defensively of keeping the ball in front of us, obviously, and then being really good at pitching on first down.
Boy, Rick, I look at your schedule. I mean, I know you're focused on these guys, but I see UTSA next, very good team. And then, of course, Charlotte just beat Duke, Will Healy after that. So it's quite a stretch here for your team. I apologize, Rick, if I missed this. I'm Virginia Tech. I know, like, my brother who went to Virginia Tech, he was planning on coming into town last year for that game, you know, at your place and make a weekend of it. Is there a possibility that that will happen down the line?
I don't know that answer. And, you know, just how far, especially, you know, the Power Five schools, how far out they schedule. I don't know if there's a, you know, a date, you know, that works for both parties that we can make up that game. So I don't have an answer for you on that one.
Well, Rick, we're looking forward to this game coming up on Saturday. It's going to be a fun one to watch. Good luck to you and your football team as you travel to Blacksburg. And thanks for taking time to join us this morning.
Man, I appreciate you guys. Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me on. Thanks for all you do for not only Middle Tennessee, but, you know, all the sports here in the Middle Tennessee area. So appreciate you guys.
Well, we really appreciate you. Rick Stockstill, MTSU football coach, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. You can check out that game coming up on Saturday, 1 o'clock on 102.5 The Game, MTSU and Virginia Tech. So really looking forward to that coming up. Big challenge for MTSU, but as Rick Stockstill pointed out there, also a big opportunity for MTSU as well. So going to look forward to that game coming up. And right now, we're pleased to go back to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Titans wide receiver Josh Reynolds. Josh, what's going on, man? How we doing?
I'm good. How y'all doing?
We're good. Appreciate you taking time to join us this morning. So, Josh, game week is finally here. It's week one against Arizona. What's your excitement level to get out there and get on the field with your new team coming up on Sunday?
Oh, man, I'm greatly excited and blessed to be able to be a part of the Titans, man. I'm looking forward to the energy the fans about to bring. You know, with the whole COVID year, we haven't had fans in the stands in a whole season. So fans are better gonna be amped up and just ready for the atmosphere.
So Josh, I know this preseason hasn't gone exactly as you'd hoped in terms of being a little bit banged up, and you told us after the practice at Nissan, you know, the Achilles has been bothering you. Then you miss a little bit of time, but it looks like you're, you know, out there running really well right now. Is that past you? Would you call yourself 100% now, or is it still somewhat of a hindrance?
Oh man, I honestly wouldn't call it 100%. I mean, at this point, I kind of don't know anybody who would say that about 100% going into the season, but I'm at a point where you know, I'm able to go out there and play how I want to play. So you know, it's definitely inclining in the right direction.
Josh, what have you learned about this offense in your time here with Todd Downing, obviously leading the way at the offensive coordinator position? Tannehill and Derrick Henry have been very productive the last couple of years. What excites you the most about this offense and your role in this offense as you move forward here?
Just new experiences and new opportunities. You know, that's one big reason why I chose the Titans is the opportunities that'll be there. So, I mean, I'm excited to see where my role is in this organization and help them win.
Well, as you've come back here, it seems like obviously, you know, A.J. Brown has missed some time. Julio Jones has missed some time. I know A.J. wasn't on the field yesterday, but it sounds like on Monday in team, you guys got everyone together and were able to have a really good practice. What did that look like? And for, you know, for people who are going to be in the stadium Sunday, I mean, what do you think this offense could look like with all of these weapons, you know, operating together?
Yeah, man, all I can say is it's going to look dangerous, man. We got a lot of weapons out there, like you were saying, and my guy Tannehill to spread it around, and then you know, you got that beast of a human back in the backfield. So, I mean, it's looking dangerous.
It is looking dangerous. And Josh, to that point, you brought up Tannehill, and we talk a lot here on our show. I mean, we've watched Tannehill pretty closely, obviously, the last couple of years, and he's played really well. Maybe doesn't get the respect he deserves nationally. Is there anything that you've learned about Ryan Tannehill that maybe surprised you since you came here with the Titans in terms of what he brings to the table when he's on the field?
No, man. Honestly, you know, I've admired him from afar. You know, both being A&M guys and just kind of knowing his kind of past and history. So I mean, you know, I know what he brings to the table, and just seeing it in person. I mean, it's unbelievable, man. Dude's smart. Knows exactly what he's doing. Is in tune to the playbook. So it's awesome, man.
So Josh, when you signed with the Titans, they had AJ Brown, who is emerging as a great player in this league. But a lot of questions after that, and then the Julio Jones trade is made. So from your perspective, obviously that changes how the offense looks, how the receiver room looks. From your perspective, was that more like, okay, so that maybe that's fewer opportunities? Or, well, gosh, with AJ and Julio, what kind of matchups am I going to be looking at? Like, how do you view it from that perspective?
I was just excited to be able to kind of get a to learn from a bigger body receiver since coming in the league. And so I was ecstatic when we got that news, because now I'm able to learn from one of the best. And so that was a positive for me. But in a whole, as far as that whole thing, man, being able to sign a guy like Julio, man, it's game changing, to your team. So he's the kind of guy that'll change the atmosphere around the locker room and stuff like that. So I think he was a great pickup.
Titans wide receiver Josh Reynolds on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, Josh, you mentioned Texas A&M, obviously very near and dear to your heart. A good season a year ago. Do you think this could be the year that Texas A&M finds their way into the college football playoff? What do you make of the group that Jimbo Fisher's put together this year?
I think it's early to call, man, but I can tell you what, they got some talent over there. I'm excited to see what the quarterback situation is going to look like, how he's kind of going to grow into that role, and how the team's going to grow, losing all the guys they did last year. So I'm excited to see what they got for us.
I just thought about this. Like, this will this be the Sunday? Will this be the first Texas A&M receiver throwing to a Texas A&M receiver in NFL
Could be.
History? That might it might be, right?
I think so.
Well, when that happens, Josh, you guys are playing an interesting Arizona team. And I know it's hard. First of all, week one, you don't have film from this team, obviously, this season, but a lot of their personnel. Malcolm Butler, a guy people around here know well, unfortunately had to retire recently. Buda Baker, a great player at safety. How do you view the matchup with them in terms of your pass offense and their pass defense?
They're a team that, me coming from the Rams, I've seen, quite a bit, through my years. So, their defense, I'm pretty familiar with a couple new faces, but I think we match up good, man. It's going to be a great game. They got, we just got to execute our plays and eliminate the bad. So, I think if we do that, then we got a great chance of winning.
Well, Josh, speaking of defense, what do you make of your guys and your side of the ball on defense here with the Titans in terms of having to go up against them in practice every day, and a lot of new faces on that side of the ball as well? What do you kind of think of your guys on defense as you head into this matchup?
I think since camp they've been growing, man. They've been adapting to the new scheme that they've been putting in. So it's going to be fun to watch this year, man. It's been fun to go against them during camp and see the progress they've been making as far as playing together as a defense. So you know, we'll see what happens this year, and I'm excited for him.
So, Josh, we've made a lot in the media and asked a lot of questions, you know, in terms of, you know, how much practice does an offense need together? Like, how much chemistry does Tannehill need to build, especially with newer guys, you know, with Julio, with you? Obviously, he's thrown to A.J. a lot and Firkser and some of those other guys. Do you feel like that, like the specifics are in good shape right now, just the little nuances? And is it fair to say, like, after, you know, a few games, that might get a lot better? Or do you guys think it's just ready to rock right now?
I think we're ready to rock right now. But, I mean, you know, as the season goes on, it only can get better or only can get worse. And since, you know, we're kind of in the industry of getting better every day, man, I would assume that it get better as the season progresses.
Titans wide receiver Josh Reynolds has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexrow. Josh, really appreciate you taking time to join us this morning. Good luck on Sunday against Arizona, and we'll talk to you down the road, man.
Yes, sir. I appreciate y'all having me.
Absolutely. Thanks, Josh. Josh Reynolds, Titans wide receiver, our guest here on Robbie and Rexrow. We'll come back. We'll react to what was the lot in that segment. Had Rick Stock still, had Josh Reynolds. Take it any way you want to take it on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Don't miss the 2021 Middle Tennessee Highland Games Celtic Festival Saturday, September the 11th. That is this Saturday at Percy Warner Park. A fun-filled day full of Celtic games, children's activities, Celtic music, food, Scottish and Irish dancers, local and regional vendors, and much more. Tickets are on sale now, and you can visit mid10games.com for more details. Once again, that's mid10games.com. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Visit ballstatebank.com to learn more about our free Kasasa checking account. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexrode, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Going to be joined to begin the 8 o'clock hour by former Tennessee Titan Zach Piller. So looking forward to that conversation coming up here in about 7 minutes or so. What'd you think of Josh Reynolds there? Some interesting comments about this Titans offense. They're looking dangerous out there. I got a little Baker Mayfield vibe to me there. That was some good stuff.
Yeah, we've already got Dennis with the meme. Is that the meme? Is that a meme? That's a meme. With Josh Reynolds, is looking dangerous.
Looking dangerous.
It was good. It was interesting stuff. And you know, I think he hit on something that, I mean, it has been talked about so much, right? What do you got?
Our buddy Luke Worsham on Twitter says, of your quote of Josh Reynolds saying the Achilles isn't 100%, but definitely going in the right direction, Luke Worsham says, but does he expect Arizona to cooperate?
Oh, yes, Luke.
Get back at it on Twitter today.
Luke, go back to asking seven-minute questions that get Mike Vrabel all upset, okay? I gave that tweet a like. That's pretty good. That's pretty good, Luke. But, yes, Reynolds, on the whole question of chemistry, because it's been asked so much. And it's been asked about Julio. But really, I mean, Reynolds is kind of the same thing. Reynolds was brought in here to be a key part of this offense and has not been out there a ton. So it's both of those guys. And especially now with Marcus Johnson on IR, I think Chester Rogers is a factor Sunday. But Josh Sure. Reynolds should be too. It's not great that he's not 100%. But again, I will say, like, just naked eye, just like watching AJ and Julio the other day, he seems to be running well, and he is a guy who can vertically, you know, beat a defense and can certainly take advantage of the matchups that he's going to get. He's got to be, you know, you got to be excited if you're him to be in this offense.
Jacob on Periscope says, should have asked him if he felt explosive. That's a misstep on our part. Little Josh Reynolds explosion. You remember the video Kaharski put out there of him not looking explosive?
See?
We should have asked.
How do I forget these things so quickly?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's right. Non-explosive. And then that's when AJ got a little angry about that. Yes, missed opportunity. Missed opportunity. I guess we have to ask everybody now if the opponent's going to cooperate too.
Yes. Yeah. Do you expect the Arizona Cardinals to cooperate and lose on Sunday?
Yeah.
My answer would be no. I do not expect them to cooperate on that front.
I'll tell you what, though.
Titans are going to have to take it.
And we're going to talk about it later, but that is that's the area if you're the Titans. I mean, you look at their corners, you know. Yeah. You look at the Titans receivers, you look at the Cardinals corners. And if you're Cardinals, you're saying, boy, do we have to get to the quarterback.
Yeah. Well, look, they've got some guys. J.J. Watt.
They do.
Chandler Jones. I mean, they've got the ability to get there. Now, both of those guys I just mentioned either are on the back part of their career or are coming off a pretty big injury. So, can they still be the same player?
That's why, like, it might not be a bad thing to play Arizona in week 8 versus week 1.
Yeah.
This might be as good as they'll be this year.
Maybe so.
But the corners, I don't know. I don't know how good their best is. I mean, Malcolm Butler was already going to be, you know, I mean, he's on. I mean, there's a reason the Titans let him walk, right?
Sure.
And I by the way, I still haven't really heard what all the deal is with him.
Nope.
But that stinks, and I hope he's okay. From the football perspective for the Cardinals, that's you're downgrading from Malcolm Butler at corner. It's, you know, that's not encouraging.
No, it is not. Your favorite? Go ahead.
No, you go.
I was going to let you finish your thought.
I actually don't really have one.
Okay. All right. That's good. When we come back, we'll be joined by former Titans offensive guard Zach Piller. Looking forward to that conversation coming up on the other side of the break. Your favorite game, Silly Underdog Picks, is back. Get your friends or family and play as a group and sign up to play today. Pick the 3 football underdog teams you think will win each week for a chance to win weekly prizes like a pair of tickets to a sporting event or to a concert in Nashville. Go to thegamenashville.com or the ESPN The Game Nashville mobile app and sign up and play now. Silly Underdogs is presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. We'll be right back with Zach Piller here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.